Good morning. Welcome to all of you to worship at Second Presbyterian Church on what is a really wonderful day. Thank you for being here. I'm really moved and touched. And I want you to know and remember that today is also Pride Day. The Presbytery of New York's float is entitled Flaming for Christ, so you won't miss it, okay? My friends, the Lord be with you. The call to worship is hymn number 596. The choir is going to sing it, and then you're going to sing it too, okay? That was wonderful. Do not put your hymnals away at all, ever. The first two opening hymns are number 331 and then 369. Thank you.
Our prayer of confession and our assurance of pardon will also be sung. So please turn first to hymn 740, and we'll sing the assurance of pardon, where we admit our need of God. And now let us give thanks for the pardon that God has given us.
I'd like to invite the children in the congregation to come up so they can tell us a sermon. Hello, Francesco. You look great. Hi. Good to see you. Hi. 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 What happened? No silly walk today, huh? Just park over here somewhere. Hi. Hi, good to see you. So it feels like I've been telling you stories about Jesus for...
Ever.
That's correct. In utero, I was telling you. So do you remember any of them? Anybody remember a story about Jesus? Just shout that out. What did he do? He told a story about how if selfish people don't become generous, it's not going to go well. That was the one about Lazarus and the rich man, right? That's a good one, yeah. Anybody remember another one that Jesus told or something that Jesus did?
He helped the weak people.
The weak people.
Get strong.
I mean, people who couldn't even walk when he showed up. He said, get up, walk. And they did. That was amazing. I like that one. Any other ones? You know any? I remember the first Jesus story I remember in Sunday school was the teacher had a board with flannel on it. And if you put flannel on flannel, it'll stick. So she had a boat with guys in it. And then she had a figure of Jesus. And he was walking on top of the water. And I was just amazed. He can walk on the... I would like a stone right to the bottom of the swimming pool. So I like that one a lot. And he fed a lot of people. There were all these hungry people. And they said, we don't have anything to eat. And he said, actually, yes, you do. And suddenly, they were eating this huge meal. When he was around, things were good, right? Okay, so that's what it's all about, sticking around. Okay, back to your parents or your teacher, and up you go to Sunday school after the choir sings, okay?
Thank you.
knew you'd clap. Let us pray. O Lord, be with us and tell us the good word. I don't know. Are you sick of slogans? Repeal and replace, give me a break. Right? Are you tired of the ads that block what you're looking for and what you're trying to do? Where's the X? Where's the X? Get rid of this mess. Tired of lies? Yeah. Well, we have no slogans, no ads, and we do not tell lies. We have stories. We tell stories all the time, and the stories tell the truth of our lives. And this week I learned that in the New Testament, most of the stories contain the phrase, "Be not afraid." In fact, that phrase occurs 365 times in the New Testament, which is one for every day of the year. So that can either be really reassuring or really terrifying because, hey, baby, there's a lot out there to be afraid of, right? Today's text is directed at the church. The New Testament was written soon after the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, during the early years of what was called the Jesus movement, which became the church. And after the initial excitement of the startup, when the kumbaya moment had faded, there was trouble in the organization. Everybody's tired. I did the math. You have heard 900 sermons from me. And research says that every preacher has exactly one sermon. You may have noticed. God loves you. God loves them. You know those people you can't stand? God even loves them. You know when it doesn't feel like it? God still even loves you then. 900 times. Please tell me someone is convinced. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Other things have happened. The leaders have made mistakes. Like, remember the time Paul and I decided it would be a really good idea, since we had this new blue hymnal, to have you sing all of the hymns you didn't know and didn't like. Oh, that was terrible. Lasted almost a year before somebody told me, bad idea. And then there was a time I couldn't get back from wherever I was to be with you when you really needed me to be with you. I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten. After a couple of years, it's clear that some people are just never going to see eye to eye. There's just always going to be this tension, right? After a couple of years, it's clear that an organization that has to listen to every single person in the room before it makes a decision is going to move very slowly. And it is going to drive Argo and the contractors and the people who are applying to be the minister of music absolutely nuts. Why can't you move faster? We just can't. And it's frustrating for us, too. And then, of course, after a couple of years of telling the truth about the flaws and abuses of our society, when what they really want to hear is flattery, you can become extremely unpopular. Or dead. Our text starts with John the Baptist in this discouraging moment. Listen for the word of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the background. Herod is the governor of Judea. He had a love affair with his brother Philip's wife, We didn't make that up in the 20th century. His brother Philip then died suddenly and mysteriously, and Herod married the grieving widow, whose name was Herodias, just to keep it confusing. So John the Baptist called Herod out. Now listen for the word of God.
At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the reputation of Jesus and said to his servants, "This man is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Although he wanted to kill him, he feared the people, for they regarded him as a prophet. But at a birthday celebration for Herod, the daughter of Herodias performed a dance before the guests and delighted Herod so much that he swore to give her whatever she might ask for. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests who were present, he ordered that it be given. And the head of John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the corpse and buried him, and they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he withdrew to a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick.
Jesus takes the news about John hard. John's his cousin. And Jesus is also a leader who is committed to the truth. So it's not a big stretch to think he's going to run into a buzzsaw too. So he's troubled and he's tired. He rows a little boat to a private place, just a little downtime, that's all he needs. But, you know, his phone pings, checks his email, his heart goes out to them. He can't not respond. The need never ends. And the story continues.
When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." And then he said, "Bring them here to me." So he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
So now the people are tired and hungry. And there's the church, always in some deserted place. And it seems like we never have what people want. 20 years ago when I came, we couldn't turn those lights on. 20 years later, we still can't turn the lights on. Air conditioning, oh please, right? We've only got 5 loaves. Mine looks like dog food. I wish I could preach like William Sloan Coffin. Instead of preaching, "God loves you," 900 times. But the world already had one William Sloan Coffin. And the world has only got one of you, wherever you are. And that's what's needed. You're what's needed with your little lunch bucket. 5 loaves. We stew and we fret. It's never enough. Never any good. Don't have enough members. We don't have enough money. But, you know, God has always worked with inadequacy. That's his favorite, fortunately. And then there's manna in the wilderness. You know, if you've got 5 loaves, I've got God loves you. Somebody else has a couple. And in the end, we're satisfied and then some. There's so much that we don't have, right? But the world that's trying to live on flash and dazzle is actually malnourished. We set this little table with bread for the journey, and that's what we get. We have the warmth and sincerity of this community around us. We have the repeated assurance that we are loved. We have a passion for justice, and we actually know what to do about it. We are people who tell the truth, even when it hurts. We behave with dignity, and we treat one another with respect. We have manna in the wilderness. We are satisfied and then some. So now we go back to Galilee, where it's really getting late.
And then he made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And it was when it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, he came towards them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And after they got into the boat, the wind died down.
Finally, Jesus is alone, and he has apparently turned off his ringer. The disciples are on their own for the first time. They are valiantly trying to get across the lake home. And here comes a terrific storm. They're miles from shore. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 6 or 7 miles wide. It's huge. They are really in trouble. It says the boat is tossed by the wind and the waves. The Greek word that is translated here as tossed literally means tortured. The boat is breaking apart. It's really bad. The wind and the waves could easily wreck this little project. It could fall apart. Jesus' friends are struggling and afraid, and in the fourth watch, that's between 3 and 6 a.m., he comes to them, walking across the stormy water. Of course, they're so traumatized, they think it's a ghost and they have more to fear. And then he says the words we should hear every single day, 365 days a year, "Take courage, it is I, be not afraid." Matthew's story is a story about his church. And it's a story about the church. And it's a story about this church. Because on Sunday morning, when Jesus is around, we're singing and we're sharing, and there's faith, hope, and love abounding. The minute you walk out the door, the wind and the waves just throw us all over the place. And it's scary, and it's threatening, and it looks like it's gonna go down. Jesus is a long way off, miles away, miles away. They're alone, their arms are aching, they're soaked, the boat is breaking, they're worn out and they're worried, and then Peter, the Mack truck personality in the group, decides that it's up to him to get Jesus over to the boat. Because we try harder, right? But it doesn't work. New Testament scholar Eugene Bering says, faith is not that you are able to walk on water. Faith is trusting that he's on his way, and he's going to get in the boat with you as we struggle together through the stormy sea. Take courage. It is I. Be not afraid. And the troubled sea is calm. Nobody has to climb over the gunwale. Nobody has to walk on water. And nobody has to cook the whole dinner alone. Look beside you. Really, do it. Do it. Look beside you. Look beside you. You're not alone. The help that you need is here. We are all trying to get through the storm. Take courage. Be not afraid. Amen. Our hymn is 719. Thank you.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see the church so filled for this very bittersweet last Sunday of Leslie's service here at this church. Please join us for a catered lunch, not potluck for once, like a real catered lunch in her honor right through this door immediately following the service. And we can see a special slideshow, I think, that Reed has prepared, and give toasts and share stories and be a full community with each other. There are some announcements at the back of the bulletin that you will see. And is there anything that needs to be brought out, Leslie, from this back of the bulletin? We do have a minute. We do have that on the thing. Okay, good. All right, so are there any other announcements before we hear the Shine a Light Minute for Mission, or whatever you want to call it? No. Okay. Let's then do that.
Morning, everyone. I'm here to just give you some more details about summer worship. Today is the last day, actually, that we'll be here in the sanctuary for the summer. We're going to be moving to the Carnegie Library as of next Sunday. It's going to be kind of different from previous summers, where we usually have had guest preachers, guest ministers, as well as all of us, some of our members have led or preached over the summer. As you'll see in the back of your order of worship, we will be sharing worship with guest ministers nearly every Sunday. These are ministers who are available through the presbytery as occasional preachers. They are some of them Leslie knows. And so as we become accustomed to the idea of someone new leading and preaching us, this is a good time to hear different voices and meet other ministers. And some of these ministers have expressed an interest in serving in some capacity for us during the transition. Also in July, another new aspect of our life together, our new Minister of Music will be starting July 9th, Natasha Ulanovsky, and she is actually here with us today and will be with us at lunch. Here she is. Natasha's starting July 9th, and she's actually going to lead our music throughout the summer. So one last aspect of all of these new things is that we want to provide some opportunity for all of us to get to know each other, Natasha being new and our little guest ministers. So yet another departure from past summers. We will have some type of refreshment after every worship. It won't be the full-blown coffee hour. In fact, it won't be coffee or hot drinks. It'll be cold beverages and probably limited to cookies and things we can eat with our hands. So it's just a nice way to keep the conversation going and keep us all refreshed at the same time. Also this summer, there will be developments on the transition, and that's what Nancy is going to talk about.
Thank you, Elaine. The session is going to select a temporary pastor moderator, probably a part-time person, to start in September. That search is well underway, and we have interviewed several strong candidates, all very different from one another, and we hope to move forward with one of them very, very soon. So we'll keep you posted on that as it develops. We are also in the earliest stages of searching for an interim minister. We've drafted the job description, and when it's been approved by the presbytery, that search which is for a full-time person who will also serve as pastor to the Alexander Robertson School, will begin in earnest a little bit later this summer. So, and while we're all here together, I just want to acknowledge and thank our liaison from the Presbytery's Committee on Ministry, who's worshiping with us today, Sharon Davison. We're very fortunate to have her as our guide through all these processes, and I'm sorry you won't be able to stay for lunch, but I know you have other congregations that you support. So thank you, and thank you all for being here.
Hi. We also want to acknowledge our executive presbyter of our presbytery, the Presbytery of New York City, Robert Fultz Morrison. Hello, Bob. Hi. All right, now it's time to take the offering for the work of this church here and in the world.
Thank you.
Now is the time we share our joys and sorrows together in prayer. Leslie, do you have a prayer?
Fiona Salmon called me last night. Her mother died yesterday evening. It's been a very long struggle for Mary Salmon and for Fiona and her sister, and I know she's in need of our prayers and our love.
This is a prayer for the Salmon family, especially for Fiona, who is truly suffering with the loss of her mother. This is our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Yes. Welcome back, Lolita. We are so happy to see you again. This is our prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, hear our prayer. Yes. A prayer for the Boswell family who has lost their Neil's father. May the Lord comfort them. This is our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And we also have a prayer of thanksgiving that the whole Leslie and Reed family and are all here. It's good to see you all. Thank you for your shining faces. Thank you for bringing them here today. This is our prayer. Ken? We always knew your thanksgivings about the weather were never really about the weather. This is a prayer of faith that life will go on in the midst of our congregational grief. Thank you, Lord, for always being with us. This is our prayer. Maxine. A prayer for Maxine's friend Lydia, who is having open heart surgery and is terrified. May the Lord be with her and her family in this terrifying moment. This is our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. And also for Reed and Leslie and their family as they have a new future, new pathways. May the Lord be with them too. This is our prayer. Susan. for Susan's friend, George. Your brother, George. May whatever the biopsies bring out be something that he can cope with and recover from. This is our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Ken. I'm sorry. Fern. Oh, hooray. And Fern. Fern. We have a prayer of thanksgiving for Fern's resilience and her recovery. She has been the subject of many a prayer here, and we really admire how she has pulled through this sudden catastrophe in her life. A prayer of thanksgiving. This is our prayer. Gordon. Yeah, a prayer of thanksgiving for Paul. We're coming back for one last Sunday. It just feels so right. It just feels so right. Thank you for coming, Paul. And thank you for the search committee for finding such a wonderful replacement. We're looking forward to that. We know you're not Paul, but you will be you. And we will enjoy that too and learn from you. This is a prayer of much thanksgiving. This is our prayer. Read. Music really is an important part of this church's worship because it does help us understand the presence of the ineffable. It reaches us in ways that words don't. So it's so important who our minister of music is and who is leading the choir, even if they have to get people in there by stratagems and traps. So thank you, Paul, and thank you. I'm having a senior moment. Thank you, Mary, and welcome, Natasha, and thank you for your ministries here. This.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid. Well, I'm sure you'll develop your own stratagems and traps as well. So this is a prayer of thanksgiving for the rich gifts of music and music leadership we've had in this church. This is our prayer.
We hear our prayer.
Dina. It is a communion of saints. Welcome, Alexandra. And we are celebrating this has been a whole generation. I mean, I think my children, well, at least my daughter was in nursery school, and now she's graduated college. It's same with you. You're about to get married. It's absolutely amazing what we have gone through together, watched the kids grow up, and said tearful goodbyes to those who have died. This is the community, or at least one of the communities that marks these incredibly important passages in our lives. So this is a prayer for the community of saints that is the church, a prayer of thanksgiving. This is our prayer. Yes? Thank you, Virginia. This is to acknowledge that Leslie's ministry and kindness extended everywhere, including in the office, which is not always an easy place to be generous and patient and kind and so forth, particularly one where everyone is working so hard. And we're happy that Virginia has trooped along with us and will continue trooping with us in the future. This is our prayer. Okay. And I'd like to say a prayer about the people who lost their lives in that fire in England. It's an appalling situation because it could have been prevented, and now it has become a political issue, which is really part of the remedy, of part of God's work through tragedy, that there will be greater attention to building safety, to where the poor and the immigrants are being housed. That this is possibly, and I pray that it is, a transformational moment for the people of the United Kingdom and the world as we think about how we treat the poor and the dispossessed who rely so heavily on us as part of the state, part of the government. Government is not all bad. There is good government and there is bad government. And hopefully this will lead to good government in England. And we will all learn from it. This is our prayer. And may the Lord also hear the silent prayers of our hearts, the ones that we are too shy to confess. We'll now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll end this service with multiple hymns so that music can reach every part of our heart. We'll start with 375, Shall We Gather at the River? Thank you.
number 542. Six, four, one.
Thank you.
And finally, 687. For the benediction. You will not fit in the middle, so just stay where you are and hold everybody's hand all around. We can work this out. I know you can do it. Nice going. There we go. Good, good. Okay, we got it. You probably also noticed that every pastor has one benediction in her. Dear friends, as this service ends, our service begins. We go into the world in peace, holding fast to what is good, returning no one evil for evil, and always and in everything seeking to love and serve the Lord. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace, today and forevermore. Amen.